All right, so I'm in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And this is a well-known passage. We're going to begin reading in verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And if I had to put an exclamation or underscore any phrase in the passage we're going to read, it would be in verse 35. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth." But we're going to get there, hopefully. Last time I kind of broke the rules and changed the dynamic of the devotion and made it longer. I'm going to try to keep it 10-15 minutes here. So if I miss something or say something, or you think of something I should have said, we can talk about it after, I guess. Okay, verse 26. There's a specific instruction that Philip is given by the angel of the Lord. We do not receive specific instructions from the angel of the Lord, or we don't hear the audible voice of God, but we do have instructions from God as far as how we're to conduct ourselves, our lives, and how and when we're supposed to talk, and the manner of conversation that our lives are supposed to portray. It says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And that word also means deserted, okay? Not just, you know, sand dunes, but it's deserted. Philip didn't necessarily expect to find a huge group of people when he goes out there into this place, but there is a purpose in the ways we should go. I'm not given voices from heaven, voices from angels, voices from God, but we do have inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You ever felt urged to go somewhere, or urged to do something, or urged to handle yourself in such a way? You know, these things all are sovereignly outlined by God. And even if we don't see the evidence that Philip later has in this account, there are reasons that we have those urges. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and when we're felt, led, or urged, however you want to phrase it, to do something, then we should behave ourselves like Philip did here, and run. But we'll get there. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. That's our Great Commission. We won't turn there, but we're told, not necessarily audibly from heaven, but we're told through the Word of God to go. And there's lots of things that happen after that, but to go, you know, you can't go and sit still. You can't go and content yourself. You have to go. You have to be active. That's a verb. You know, you can't do nothing and act out a verb. A verb is a doing word. So go. And he arose. He did what the angel of the Lord said in verse 27. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He did what the angel told him to do. We never know who we're going to run into, who we're talking to. I was at a stadium a couple years ago in line for a hot dog, and I'm talking back and forth with this gentleman. And it turns out this gentleman was part of the Big Red Machine in the late 70s, Joe Morgan. And I had no idea until another fan came up and said, "Hey, that's Joe Morgan." But to me, he was some guy trying to purchase something at a concession stand. We never know who we're talking to. So Philip went down and talked to this man who had authority. He had some power in the land of Ethiopia there. And this man was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Now in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to his chariot." He didn't give him a prep talk. Okay, this is what you need to say. This is what you need. He said, just go join him. That was what the Spirit told him to do. And we do have urges to go talk to folks in different things. Okay. So we should anyway. I know the Spirit would lead us to do things that God would have us to do. I don't think the Spirit would lead us away from talking about Christ to others. But he went and joined himself. And Phil, he didn't walk over, meander over, or kind of hem-haw around, "Do you really want me to?" and have this, or go the other way like a Jonah moment. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. He was excited to go see what was going to happen. Now, Philip, I think he had seen some miracles done, and he had a strong conviction that the Lord is a great God, and he does marvelous and wonderful things. So when the angel told him and the spirit said go, he went. He was excited to go. So I'm ashamed that I'm not excited to go, you know, like Philip is. Philip was excited to go. He was excited to see what was going to happen here. And he said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you know what's going on here? Do you know what you're reading about? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now this is something that really got on me as I was studying this out. If I went up to somebody and they were studying the Bible, and at random, wherever they were, and they said, I don't know what this is talking about, could I explain it to them? That's a probing question. Could I explain it to them? Do I know enough about God's Word that anybody on the street reading anywhere, I could explain to them what they're reading? With confidence, knowing what they're saying.
And explain Jesus.
Turn it back to the Lord. Yes, absolutely. And not say, well, I don't know. I haven't heard that. I haven't thought about that. I have to go back and study that. I need to go ask the elders. I need to go ask my pastor. No, Philip was ready to go right there. So this is something we can say about Philip. And the Holy Spirit, you know, He guides, He leads, but He doesn't pour the knowledge in. We have to do our own reading also. And the place here, verses 32 and 33, the place of the Scripture which was read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other? So, what did Philip do here? Did he say, this is too big, I want to go home? Or, no, I'm going to think this out. Or, I'm going to talk to the pastor. Or, no, I'm going to pray about it. Does the Lord really want me to witness to this person? You know, did he go through all these things? No. Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture. He didn't jump to another place. He didn't skim ahead or go back to his favorite five or six verses or passages. He began at that place at that time and preached unto him Jesus.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay. So, should we wait for an opportunity? Well, I'm waiting to be led. I'm waiting for an opportunity. And this is another part that really probed me. Look around. What more of an opportunity do we need to speak about Jesus Christ? I mean, you look at our presidential candidates and tell me there's not an opportunity every single day to witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn on the news for 5 minutes, you know. I'm sure you guys have a break time. Maybe you're at your work. There's no way you can make through a solid half an hour and not have some kind of opportunity to talk about the Lord. There's a lot of time that I have at work that I could talk about. I mean, I'm around sick and dying people. You tell me I don't have time to talk about the Lord? I don't like I should. Definitely. But there's opportunity. There's never a time when we don't have opportunity. Matthew chapter... turn over to Matthew with me, if you would. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Well, that light isn't my own self or your own self. We're useless. We're unworthy. We're filthy rags. That's the light of the Holy Spirit shining in us. Neither do men light a candle. You can go back to the first chapter of John. You know that light comes from God, that it doesn't come from men. It shines out of darkness. And that light is God. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This world is so dark. It is so evil. It is so sinful. And so am I. But the Holy Spirit, but God Almighty has quickened me unto life, and given me a measure of light. And a measure of light in darkness, boy, it shines out. It surely does. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, it talks about what would happen to people, what happens to people in perilous times. And in the times of the Bible, they thought they were in perilous times and were at the times of the end. Okay? But we surely are in perilous times. And our light should shine through in perilous times. So, opening our mouth, like Philip did there to that eunuch, that we should have excitement, we should have a zeal, we should go forth and run, and we should be ready and willing to share Jesus Christ where people are, where they read, where they sit, and what they're doing at any time, in season and out of season. And look, 10 minutes, look at that.